Joshua chapter number 1, this is where we're going to be at this morning. And we read a verse from Joshua at the end of his life earlier today. I know your church family has that. And Joshua is such a man that I really look up to in Scripture as a man who was faithful to the Lord until the end.
Yes, sir.
And he was faithful as a faithful servant to Moses, and then faithful to the Lord as he led the children of Israel. A man that had to go through hard times. And we'll see this morning a man that had to deal with the consequences of other people's poor decisions. Stuck in the wilderness for 40 years, not because he wanted to be there,
true.
But everybody else did. And many of us can look at Joshua as a great example, because many of us have dealt with consequences of our parents' actions or other people's actions in our lives. But God brought him through and he was faithful.
Amen.
Joshua chapter number 1, let's look here. It says in verse number 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel." Let's pray and look in the message this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here this morning. And I pray that as we look into your scripture, Lord, that we can, Lord, pursue you with our lives and Lord, have that victorious Christian life that you promised us, Lord, if we're obedient to you. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Children of Israel, at an interesting point in their time here, they're ready to enter into the promised land after being 40 years into the wilderness. And if you read through the Old Testament, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it's really the children of Israel's journey from Egypt into the promised land as you follow through in the book of Joshua. Now, as you read that, it's all a picture of the Christian life. You see, Egypt represents the world. Egypt represents life without Christ. Children of Israel were in bondage and they were stuck in Egypt. And before we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we are in the world, we are in bondage. But just like the children of Israel experienced that Passover time where the angel of the Lord passed over them, if they took the blood of that spotless lamb and put it over their doorpost, they were passed over.
Yes.
And when we accept Jesus' gift of salvation through his sacrifice on the cross, we are passed over judgment.
Amen.
And God gives us freedom from that bondage, just like the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, out of bondage. And then the children of Israel had to go through the wilderness and then make it to the promised land, the land that God had set aside for the children of Israel, a land that even today is a lot of controversy over. And that's a land that God promised the children of Israel. But the promised land doesn't represent heaven. Some people say, well, it's heaven. No,
correct.
It represents the victorious Christian life.
Amen.
And what is a victorious Christian life? To sum it up for you, it's really a life that you are consistently overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Amen.
A life that you're consistently walking with the Lord and having spiritual victories. And that's a life that all of us should pursue.
Amen.
A life that we're consistently overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, and seeing spiritual victories and advancements in our life.
Good.
But listen, a lot of Christians, unfortunately, don't experience that. They're saved out of bondage, but they don't experience that victorious Christian life. And really, the Christian life is about consistency. It's not about mountaintop moments or it's about trying to be consistent with our walk with the Lord on a daily basis. That should be our goal. Our goal should be how am I growing in my relationship with the Lord, seeing spiritual advancement in my walk with God, being conformed to the image of His Son on a daily basis. And that's living the victorious Christian life, and that's available to all Christians.
Yes.
Unfortunately, though, just like the children of Israel, many Christians are wilderness Christians. They're saved from the world, but they never experience that victorious Christian life. They spend lifetimes, just like the children of Israel. Joshua and Caleb were the only two from his generation that were able to experience the promised land. And we've seen many Christians, they get saved, and it's like they're spiritually wandering. They make no spiritual progress in their life. It's just the same thing over and over again. They fall into the same sin. They perform the same practices. You never see them ever serve in the local church. You never see them grow in the Lord. It's just kind of a shallow Christianity. They're just kind of wandering around. There's no spiritual advancements being made in their life. And you got to ask yourself the question this morning, am I a wilderness Christian? Am I a wilderness Christian? Am I a Christian that's just wandering around? I'm not making any spiritual progress in my life. I am the same in my walk with the Lord, in my relationship with Christ, and my service for the Lord today as I was a year ago, as I was 2 years ago. And all of us need to evaluate where we are as a Christian. Let me tell you some identifiers that you're a wilderness Christian this morning, based off the children of Israel in the wilderness. Number one, you constantly complain. You're constantly negative. And the children of Israel, all throughout the time they're in the wilderness, always complaining.
Yes. Yes.
God provided manna from heaven, water out of the rock. God provided quail and meat when they wanted it. And they see all this goodness of God, but they focus on the negative. Oh, life was better when I was in bondage.
Yes. Yes.
Constantly complaining. And wilderness Christians are negative, complaining, always looking at the downside of life rather than looking at the goodness of God. Another sign of a wilderness Christian is somebody who always pushes against spiritual leadership. Always pushing against Moses, the man that God put in leadership of them. And folks that never make spiritual progress if you're always pushing against spiritual truth. You hear the sermon preach, you hear the pastors preach, you hear your pastor provoke you, and you say, yeah, that's good for you, pastor. I'm going to push against it. And the children of Israel pushed against Moses. To the point that God says, hey, Moses, I'll just wipe them all out and I'll start over with you. And Moses said, no, no, no.
Right. It's true.
Another example of a wilderness Christian is those that glory in their past life. They're always thinking about how life was better before they were saved. Man, you remember how much fun we had at all that stuff? And it's almost like they glory in their life before they were free from bondage. And the children of Israel are like, remember all the fish we had in Egypt? No, they had taskmasters. They were beaten. They were put to work. And yet they start thinking back how life before Christ was better. And you hear folks all the time, well, life was better, you know, life was so good back in the day and living in their glory days. And that was in bondage, that was in sin. But the children of Israel, before they could enter into the promised land, they needed to overcome some battles. And listen, the Christian life, if we're going to have the victorious Christian life, it's not going to be easy. To be honest with you, you're going to face battles in your life that you're going to have to overcome. I want you to turn your Bible over to Numbers chapter number 13. This is where the children of Israel started, you know, getting into the wilderness to begin with. And just for the sake of time, I'll go through the story quickly. We all know the story. If you ask a young person in Sunday school, if they know the story, they hear it. 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Right? We all know that story. I'm sure you all can sing it with me. We're not going to do that this morning. But the 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report. And the other 10 said, we can't do it. And these are the same individuals that watched God part the Red Sea for them and destroy Pharaoh's army. And they go and look at the promised land. They see these giants. They see all these different things, the large cities and the great big walls and all these little things that discourage them, thinking that God wasn't going to take care of them. And Joshua and Caleb said, if God says it, let's go do it. Amen. But they were in the minority. And what stopped the children of Israel from progressing into the promised land is they chose public opinion over what God says.
Yes.
And really, if we're going to make any spiritual progress, that begins by taking God at his word.
Amen.
And obeying it. You find in the New Testament, God says, I have now found so great a faith, not in all of Israel. Is he talking about his disciple? Is he talking about Matthew, you know, Matthew, James, or John? No, he's talking about a Roman centurion.
Right.
A man who wasn't even a Jewish person at the time. But why did Jesus say that he had no greater faith, not in all of Israel? It's because when he went to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his servant, Jesus said, okay, let's go. And he said, no, if you say it so, I know it will be done. And Jesus said, the Bible says that Jesus, he marveled. Mm-hmm. Only two times was Jesus astonished in the Bible. He was just dumbfounded over a great faith and over a lack of faith in people's unbelief. But he says, I have not seen so great a faith, not in all of Israel. Why? To sum it all up is because the man took Jesus at his word. And if we're going to have that victorious Christian life, it needs to say, do you know what? When I make decisions in my life, when I'm moving forward in my life, how I'm going to raise my family, how I'm going to live my life, needs to match up with the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
God's Word can be trusted.
Yes.
Anybody who's followed God's Word, God has a perfect record. God bats 1,000.
Amen.
Okay? God has never let anybody down in the history of the world.
Amen.
And God can be trusted, but it starts by taking God at His word and saying, do you know what? I need to follow the Scriptures. I need to do what God tells me to do. The world is going to tell us something completely opposite that's contrary to the Bible. And even you, especially you young people, listen. The world is going to put stuff out you that's contrary to the Bible, but you have to, and that's why it's so important to know the Scriptures for
Amen.
Yourself.
Amen.
Rightly divide the word of truth so you can say, do you know what? Filter everything through the word of God.
Amen.
And you have to ask yourself, does this match up with God? Is this decision I'm making? Is this thing that I believe in, is where I stand on a certain issue, does it line up with the word of God? And if the answer is no, then we need to side with the word of God.
Amen.
Children of Israel spent a lifetime in the wilderness because they decided to trust their own wisdom and their own ideas rather than following what God told them. God said, I have a plan, a place set for you. It's yours. It's yours for the taking. And the children of Israel said, yeah, that's good. But no, they had to take God at His word. And that's why God blessed Joshua and Caleb. They obeyed God at His word. And they got to enjoy that promised land when they watched their generation be buried in the wilderness. Next place I want you to look, go back to Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. The children of Israel start to prepare to go into the promised land. And you think God would give them something easy to begin with. But no, God gives them Jericho. Jericho is a city that was a fortified city. Great big walls of Jericho. And you would think some militaristic plan of how they're going to do it. Maybe God would tell them to dig a hole underneath the city wall. Maybe God would give them some special instructions like He gave Noah to build an ark. Maybe He would instruct them to build some sort of cannon device to knock down the walls. But no, what does God do and instruct the children of Israel to do? Walk around this place. Don't say a word. And then on the last day, walk around a couple more times. And then when you're all done, you're going to scream as loud as you possibly can, and the walls are going to come down. And you would think that if I was the children of Israel, I would say, that is the dumbest military plan I've ever heard in my life. But they obeyed. Because what the children of Israel did was they took a step of faith. They lived by faith. And God blessed that faith because they said, you know what? As much as this might not make sense, we're still going to obey anyway. We're still going to obey anyway. And they obeyed what God told them to do, and God blessed them for that. And listen, if we're going to live and have a victorious Christian life that we're overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, seeing that spiritual advancement and progress made, we have to live by faith. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, you know, the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It tells us later on in the book of Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So let me ask you a question this morning as you, if you feel like you're a wilderness Christian, when's the last time you did something on faith? Book of James tells us that faith without works is dead. And if we're real, and the way to display our faith is by putting our faith in action.
Yes, sir.
James said, I'll show you my faith by my works, by the things that I do. It's putting your, it's not just saying you believe in God, it's your actions following through with that.
Yes.
You know, you have your 25th wedding, your 25th, not wedding anniversary. You have your 25th church anniversary coming up. Your pastor provoked you to pass out those cards. For some of you, to pass out an anniversary flyer is an act of faith.
Amen. Yeah, it's good.
It's an act of faith.
Sure.
And the reason that we haven't passed out an invitation recently is because we haven't been living by faith. Believing that God is not going to return, his word will not return void.
Amen.
That I'm going to pass a track out. I'm going to pass an invitation. I'm going to share my faith with my neighbor or with my coworker or with somebody because I have faith that God is going to do something in their lives. When's the last time the offering plate came by and you said, do you know what, I'm going to do something, I'm going to give on faith,
amen,
knowing that God's going to take care of me.
Right.
And listen, the Christian life, you're never going to make spiritual progress if you're not living by faith. And living by faith is something that is, it is something that is uncertain, there's some uncertainty there. But that's what the Christian life is based on, it's based off faith.
Yes.
The most important thing about us is our faith. You know, the Bible, Jesus says, have faith in God. And you hear the Bible, they ask to increase our faith. That should be something that we should be praying for consistently. God, increase my faith. I heard a testimony from Brother Clarence Sexton. We got to do a little interview with him before he passed away. And he tells a story that he picked up Dr. Lee Robertson. He would drive him around because he didn't want to fly anymore. And Brother Sexton got to drive with him. And he said, if you can go back, he was in his 90s. He said, if you can go back and do your ministry all over again. And he had churches and campuses, and before that was even a thing, and bus routes and Bible colleges, and man, just great exploits for the Lord. And he said, Brother Robinson told him, he said, I wish I had more faith in God. A man that did so much for the Lord, and at the end of his life, you would think, man, he would say, well, I wish I could do this or build another. No, he said, I wish I had more faith in God. At the end of our life, that's going to be something I think all of us are going to say. I wish I had more faith in God. That God was just going to take care of it if I just followed his word and stepped out on faith. Last thing this morning, just quickly, chapter number 7, they defeat Jericho. God tells them not to take the accursed thing. He said, this first battle, everything is for me. Nothing's for you. Unfortunately, there's a man named Achan who took the accursed thing and he buried it in his tent. Didn't tell anybody. Then they go and they go into the battle of Ai. And they just say, well, we beat Jericho. Ai is a little town, little village here, a little city, and we got this. And they go right in. And listen, and just to say this, as we're talking about it, when you're going through life, every single decision and thing in life, even if we've done it 1,000 times, we should always go to the Lord for guidance. One thing that the children of Israel, they had to actually take a step back because they wanted to do things in their own way rather than consulting with God. And oftentimes in our life, we force ourselves back into the wilderness because we're making decisions in our own strength, in our own mind, rather than consulting God about the issues. And everything in life, we should have God involved in our daily decisions. God, what do you want me to do here? God, what steps do you want me to do? And we should always trust the Lord to guide our steps, even if it's something in familiar territory. Oftentimes, the things we're most familiar with, we leave God the most out of. And we want to make sure that we're keeping God involved. But Achan, because of Achan's sin, it affected that entire battle. They lost, men lost their lives. And it was something that Achan couldn't even enjoy. It was something buried in his tent. And I'll tell you, the biggest thing that stops us from living that victorious Christian life is having unresolved sin in our life. Stuff that needs to be addressed. And listen, we're like Achan. We're Achan buried it, thinking this doesn't affect anybody.
Right.
This won't matter to anybody. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's in my tent. Nobody knows about it. But not only did it affect the children of Israel, Achan and his entire family are then put to death. It affected his children, his grandchildren. And listen, sin takes us farther than we want to go. And listen, don't listen to the lie from Satan that, well, your sin's not affecting anybody. That it's just a you thing, and nobody knows about it, and it's not anything. No, sin, parents, sin affects your children, affects your families. And sin has a rippling effect in our lives. And we have to take it seriously. And by overcoming and by revealing that sin and getting it dealt with, the children of Israel were able to make progress. Listen, God wants us to have the victorious Christian life this morning. God wants to have us overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, have a consistent walk with the Lord, a life that we're enjoying the blessings of God, but that can only happen is if we take God at His word, that we step out and live by faith, and making sure that we're guarding and fighting against sin in our lives.